Welcome to the 12th installment of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion is one mitzvah, positive commandment 209, the commandment to honor Torah scholars. This commandment includes really two sections. As described in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 32, Mipnei seva tokum, stand before an aged person, v'hadarta pnei zaken, and give glory to the elder. We see, therefore, there is a commandment not only to honor them, but also literally to stand up before a sage. As the Sifra states, that tokum v'hadarta, that you must stand up, but it says together, hadarta, you must honor him, meaning standing up in a way which will honor him, the details of which are discussed in the first chapter of the tractate Kiddushin. When is it called a standing which honors the sage? In the Code of Jewish Law, the Shach explains that this is when he is within 4 ames, or approximately 6 feet of you. Should it be further away, in general, it would look as if the person is standing up for another reason, and therefore it is prohibited to stand up unless he is within 6 feet of you. However, one's own personal teacher, or the head of the Jewish people, the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, or the Av Bezdin, the second in command in the Sanhedrin, before any of these people, one should stand as soon as they come in their presence. Therefore, for a regular Torah scholar, you can only stand when they are within 6 feet of you. But for one's teacher, or the other categories mentioned, one should stand as soon as one sees them. As we've seen, the verse, although mentioning specifically elders, is referring primarily to Torah scholars. Therefore, the law of honoring the scholar applies not only to an aged scholar, but a young scholar as well. Conversely, a person who is aged, described in the Code of Jewish Law as over the age of 70, also deserves the same respect and should also be stood up for. And even a non-Jew who has reached such an elderly age also should be stood up for. As the Talmud quotes, that Rabbi Yochanan used to stand up even before a non-Jew, and then stated, Kama hariftiki odo alayo dahani, that how many different events, how many troubles came upon this person, and how many miracles he saw, he must have seen having lived such a long life. Therefore, even before a non-Jew, Rabbi Yochanan stood up. The Rambam mentions that just as the student must have special respect for his teacher, so too the teacher must show respect to his students and not tax them overly or be too demanding in terms of his own honor. Rather, the students must themselves bring upon this honor. They must certainly not mistreat him or diminish his honor, and the teacher also should not stand for such a show of disrespect. However, to overly demand respect is also not befitting a Torah scholar, says the Rambam. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam continues to say that the requirement of honoring a Torah scholar is a requirement on everyone. And as the Talmud says, even Torah scholars in Babylon, in Bavel, also used to stand up for one another, even though they might be on the same level of knowledge. Even though all are required to honor the scholar, a student, in comparison with his teacher, has a special requirement regarding honor. Not only must he show kavod, but he also has meira. He has to have fear and awe of his teacher. And the Rambam now discusses this at length, apparently to distinguish between his opinion and that of the Hilchos Gedolos, the Bahag, who counts the idea of fear or awe of a Torah scholar as a separate commandment. Whereas the Rambam says this is all included in our commandment of honoring a Torah scholar. And the Rambam discusses this at some length, since it is his purpose, as he mentioned in the introduction to Sefer HaMitzvahs, to justify his counting of which commandments are included in the number of 613 and which are not. The Rambam begins by showing how he knows that the student must have fear or awe of his teacher. And he explains this by referring to the explicit statement of our sages that in a case where there is a chance to do something for one's teacher or one's father, then one's teacher comes first, such as a lost object. If one has the lost object of one's teacher or one's father and can only return one of them, that of his teacher comes first. and as our sages give the reason, that since his teacher brings him into the world to come, this surpasses that which his father did by only bringing him into the physical world. Therefore, his teacher takes precedence. And as explained in Chassidus, that although the father actually brought his son into existence, and therefore gave of his essence to the son, it would seem he should come before the teacher, who doesn't give his essence to the student, he only gives him a ray, a bare glimmer, of his Torah knowledge. However, this explains in Chassidus, that Torah knowledge is so much greater than what the father can give over to the son from his soul, that even this glimmer of Torah knowledge, this ray, is still much superior to this that the father can give from the essence of his physical existence to the son's physical existence. So much higher is the essence of Torah above the essence of human existence that even a bare ray, a bare glimmer of this, surpasses that which the father can give. How do we see this idea that a student must have awe or fear for his teacher? He is forbidden from publicly disagreeing from him, opposing a legal decision of his, and in particular, giving legal decisions without permission of his teacher. He is forbidden from quarreling with his teacher, and is certainly warned not to judge him in an unfavorable manner. For example, if he sees an action or an act of speech on the part of his teacher which seems to be wrong, he must always assume that it was for the good, since he does not know what his teacher's intention is. And although perhaps it might be pointed out that this is required by any person, as mentioned in Pirkei Aves, nevertheless one must be particularly careful when it comes to one's teacher. In the Talmud in Perek Achelek in Sanhedrin, the Talmud speaks amazing ideas regarding the fear which one has to have for one's teacher. Anyone that disagrees with one's teacher, says the Talmud, is like they are disagreeing with the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence. Anyone that argues, who rebels, or even gives a second thought after their teacher, is also as if they are doing the same thing against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. As the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs quotes many verses from the Torah, where we see that although Korach and other cases where the Jewish people rebelled against Moses, nevertheless they are considered as if they rebelled against Hashem. And as our sages say explicitly, that fear or awe of your teacher should be like your fear of heaven. The inspiring story is told in the Medrash of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, that even though he was already a grown young man, he had never ever studied the Torah. He did not know how to pray and could not say even the Shema. He rather worked out in the fields with the rest of his brothers, plowing and working as a farmer. However, he had a yearning inside to study Torah, and once his father saw him crying, and he asked, "Why are you crying?" And he answered, "I want to study Torah. If I have the strength to plow, I must have the strength to study as well." But his father laughed, "You're too old. How can you start studying now? Everyone else is way ahead of you." But Rabbi Eliezer had heard that in Yerushalayim was the famous teacher Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, and he begged to be able to go there and study with him. His father became angry and disagreed. However, eventually, because of this tremendous desire, Rabbi Eliezer ran away and went to Yerushalayim in order to study. Since he had no money and no food, in order to prevent the gnawing hunger from preventing him from going further, he would take dirt, and place it in his mouth and chew on it to relieve this tremendous sense of hunger. Finally, he came to Yerushalayim and sat down in the study hall of Rabbi Yechonon. He sat there, listened to the lesson, and began to cry, since he was totally unable to understand what was being discussed. After observing this for a while, Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai asked him, "Why are you crying?" Having explained that he knew nothing but had a desire to learn, Rabbi Yechonon started teaching him Shema and started teaching him the Torah a little bit at a time. Rabbi Eliezer was a good student and very quickly progressed, and was even taken in by Rabbi Yechon into his house after having been discovered that he was eating nothing but dirt, since he had forgotten to eat as a result of his tremendous love of Torah. As time went on, he became a great scholar among all of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's students, and he made a feast and invited Rabbi Eliezer there in order to speak and give a Torah discourse. On the day that he made the feast, Rabbi Hyrcanus, who was the father of Rabbi Eliezer, happened to come to Yerushalayim to look for his son and to complain to Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai that he needed him back on the farm since he was wasting his time and would be unable to study Torah. However, since Rabbi Yechon recognized him as the father of Rabbi Eliezer, he told him to sit at the front of the table. Being a simple farmer, he was astonished and asked, "Why are they giving me so much honor?" And as time went on, it came the turn of Rabbi Eliezer to stand up and give his lecture. And as he gave a tremendously scholarly speech, which impressed everyone there at his tremendous progress and how higher he was even in comparison with the other students, Rabbi Hyrcanus stood up and said, "I came here in order to punish my son and bring him back to me to work on the farm. But now I see he has become a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar. And even though he is my son, I nevertheless must respect him. He deserves my respect as a tremendous Torah scholar greater than I am." And just as he honored his son for his Torah knowledge, so too he himself was honored as a result of his being the father, due to his being the father of this great sage, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. To conclude with another law regarding standing up for a Torah scholar, in the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Sefer Chassidim, which brings an interesting law that if a person, although the Shulchan Aruch says that a person who is studying Torah nevertheless must stand up for a Torah scholar, however, a person who is holding a Chumash, the five books of Moses in his hand, should not stand up for a Torah scholar. And this would certainly apply to someone who was sitting down holding a Torah scroll. A scholar is in fact compared to a Torah scroll. As our sages say, how foolish are people who would stand up when a Sefer Torah, a Torah scroll, comes by, but they will not stand up for a Talmud Chacham, for the scholar himself. That the Torah scroll is full of Torah, but so is the scholar, therefore they should stand up for him as well. However, the Sefer Torah does not stand up for the Talmud Chacham, and so too evidently the same holiness, or a similar holiness, which is in the Torah scroll, is also in the Chumash. Therefore, a person holding a Chumash should also not stand up for the Talmud Chacham, as declared in Sefer Chassidim.